today. I've had a cold this week, and I've put a cough drop in my mouth. I was reminded that there's a preacher who spoke every Sunday morning with no clock for 27 minutes. And he was just precise, and nobody could figure out it was long enough for a good sermon. 27 minutes. And one Sunday, he went almost an hour, completely out of character. One of his deacons was talking to him after church and said, "Pastor, it's okay, but it was a little unusual today that you went that long. And just wondered what you were thinking." And the pastor said, "Well, the way I time myself is I put a cough drop in my mouth as I start each sermon, and when the cough drop melts, I quit." Said, "Today I got a button out of my pocket and kept waiting for it to melt, I guess. I've got a cough drop, so we're okay." The bread of life. Our text would be the scripture that we read from John 6:35. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he believes in me, cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, will never thirst anymore, not at any time." Two big miracles right before this. Jesus was preaching, and he taught the people all day. It came evening time. They hadn't eaten. So he asked the disciples, "What can we feed them? They're hungry. Let's don't send them away hungry." And they said, "There's nowhere to go." And he said, "Well, what have you got?" And this is the story where they said, "We got 5 loaves and 2 fishes from a little boy." And that's it. I've always wondered how they knew that. Were they poking in sacks? Or how did they know they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And so Jesus told the people to sit down in groups. He blessed the food. And they fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And they had 12 basketfuls left over. That had to be incredibly impressive. In fact, it was, to the point that people were really following him. He had big crowds after this. He had a hard time escaping. And the other miracle was that he went across the Sea of Galilee, and then as he was to get away, as he's coming back, he sent the disciples ahead. And in the middle of the night, he came to them walking on the water. And they were amazed and mystified by this. So now he's preaching the longest sermon of his career, other than what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he does the bread of life and eat my flesh and drink my blood. They were mystified by this and they went away. And he said to them, "You're following me for the miracles." He was apparently unhappy about that, but if you'd seen those kind of miracles, you would tell people about it. Don't follow me for those things, but follow me for other reasons. I came to give you the bread of eternal life, and not bread that you'd eat and get hungry again, was where he went with that. I am the bread of life. This is in a collection of 7 great I ams. It makes, when ministers are looking for series of sermons, it makes for a good one to say, we've got 7 I ams. I am the light of the world. I'm the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way, the truth, the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the true vine, and I'm the bread of life. They didn't understand this, and I think we can be sympathetic with them. I was thinking about bread, and if any of you are celiacs today, I don't want to bother you, but bread is so basic to every culture. You know, when we say Germany, you think of German bread, and in Italy you get those fine thin crust margherita pizzas, and I don't think they got any bread that's any good in England, but that's about the only way. Do they? What's the good bread in England? Peasant bread. Brown bread and soda bread in Ireland is really good. Germany, you get, they could build roads and buildings out of that bread in Germany. And the French have got croissants, and but you know, we're pretty good with bread things too. Biscuits, buttermilk biscuits, sourdough bread, cornbread baked in an iron skillet with butter. Don't leave yet. Don't want to make you hungry. We're serving a lot of non-flatbread from India. Bread just basic for the world. And they're saying we have problems with it today because we've genetically modified things to the point that we have problems. That may well be true. But when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, he's saying, I'm the basic nutrient. I'm the fundamental, the foundational thing that life doesn't make any sense without him. That you're not going to be able to understand life without understanding that he is the foundational part of that. He's the bread. The second thing I'd point out is this bread is a gift. He compares this in the sermon to the manna in the wilderness. Your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness. Children of Israel, as much as 2 million strong, marched out of Egypt, and they did not have enough provisions. They couldn't have carried enough food. They marched from Egypt into a wilderness, and there they needed water. They needed something to sustain them. I don't know that there was a plan for this other than God. And the net result was the Lord provided daily manna. The manna was there every morning when they got up. It was enough for the day. And then the next day it was there again. If they got too much one day, it spoiled overnight. But the day before the Sabbath, they could get 2 days' worth so they didn't have to work or gather on the Sabbath. And I suppose they grumbled about it. He sent them some quail and other things. But I suppose you'd get tired of even angel food cake. I don't know what the manna tasted like, but I'm sure it was good. But every day the same thing. But it nourished them. And he says, your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. But if you eat of this bread, you won't die, you'll live forever. The bread of life. He claims he's the real bread from heaven. And if you eat of this bread, you will not die. In the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I think that's an important prayer, an important part of that prayer. Daily bread would be, give us what we need today. And the principle of the manna is you're dependent on God every day. You can't just pile it up and stack it up and build bigger barns and store. But you're going to need God every day to provide for you. Give us today our daily bread. I pray that prayer at least once a day. We're going to receive every day what we need. We're going to be dependent on God for tomorrow. And we can't make it without his provision. The most important part of this is that some people don't know about this spiritual bread. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for water and you would never thirst again. And so there are people who don't know about it. The Jews of Jesus' day were satisfied without Jesus. They would have said they were looking for a Messiah, but they weren't. They liked their ritual and their traditions, and they did not want to give them up, even for a Messiah that has come. Jesus has said, you've got to want him. And that Augustine quote that says, there is a God-shaped vacuum in us, that God created us to need him, fundamentally is there. A day without Jesus leaves us unsatisfied. One of the things that we can know as we watch people make bad mistakes and bad decisions along the way is life doesn't work without Jesus. And they'll be dissatisfied. I was reading an article not long ago about atheists who have died and how many of them change their tune on their deathbed, which certainly makes sense. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And so unless you want the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven, I don't think you'll find it. He said, ask and keep on asking and you'll receive. Seek and keep on seeking and you'll find. Knock, keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. So there's got to be a hunger and thirsting after righteousness in order for you to find what Jesus is offering. He even said at one point, I didn't come to those that are well, but I came to those that are sick. So the bread needs to be desired. It's a gift from God, and it's basic to us. Jesus' story of the great banquet in heaven is really interesting, I thought, to this speak to this. Invitations were sent out for a great banquet, as Jesus tells the story, and preparations were made for a state dinner, I guess. And those which were bidden were not worthy. They made excuses as to why they couldn't come. Some of them had to do business things. Mothers had to see their family. And so they didn't come. So they which were bidden were not worthy. They didn't come. So the manager of the feast sent out invitations to the lowly, the meek, the halt, the lame, the blind, the lame. And the feast was furnished with guests. I think that's an important thing to understand. And he said it's hard for a rich man to be saved. I think that's important to understand, that people who are getting by the best in life and serving the world, sometimes they don't think they need anything. The rich man and Lazarus is a good story about that. He thought he needed nothing until he died and he realized that he was in great need. So Jesus is the bread of eternal life. He satisfied, I'm the living bread come down from heaven. If any of you eat this bread, you'll live forever. What a promise. This is bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I'm sure there's an allusion here to the communion table. Churches would teach, some would, that this changes into the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. The doctrine of transubstantiation, we believe it's symbolic, but it represents the blood and body of Christ. But this would certainly fit in with what Jesus is saying here in John 6. Jesus is the tree of life now. He's the bread of life. And he offers us eternal benefits to believing in him, to taking him in. He can't make us eat. But I saw a thing the other day that said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can feed him some salt first. And I think that's what the Lord does with us in a way. He makes us thirsty for him because life doesn't work without him. It's easy to just come to him and say, Lord, this isn't working unless you do something to help us. We're only one beggar telling another beggar where to buy food, where to find food. And I've watched people without Jesus until they had troubles not want to hear about him. I think a great ministry that some people do well is to go to hospitals. People that are sick, that have just been notified they have something wrong with them, that their child is sick, they're willing to talk to you about Christ. I don't think you'd have the same effect going to Little League baseball games and talking to the parents of the children that are there if they're healthy and well and they don't have any needs. Jesus is trying to tell the Israelites of his day, it's not enough to have your natural needs met. You have a spiritual need, and life isn't going to work unless you get that met. And I am that manna from heaven. I'm that bread of life. And you're going to need me to get through. Eat of this, and you'll never be hungry again. I'm glad it's represented in communion, because I think that's a part of what we celebrate today, that a gift from God. We didn't do anything to deserve this gift of salvation. We didn't earn it. We didn't make it. We didn't knead the bread in terms of making the dough. But Jesus has provided everything we need. The result is we believe in him. We take him in. We get our daily fix of him, and life works. I'm going to give you just a few moments in prayer to prepare your hearts for communion today and say, Lord, give us the daily bread we need. Supply our needs on earth. That's a part of the prayer. But more important than earthly needs, supply our needs for heavenly things, for the spiritual life, for the world that exists beyond this that we're so urgent to know about and to celebrate. Let's spend just a few moments in prayer.